toilet says that's a good shot
we
for
want
us.
Him, we want him shooting
no,
shots.
No, it's not. He's open because they want you to shoot.
We want him shooting those shots. Those are his exact words.
He's not good at it.
You know who wants him shooting those shots?
The opponent.
The opposing coach.
The league, man. Right.
Yeah. Like, they're doing that on purpose so that he shoots so they can get the ball back without you scoring.
And it's hard, you know, listening to Chris Dunn last night in the postgame in the locker room afterward. We say this about Chris Dunn, and it's true. I don't blame Chris Dunn for that anymore. Like, there was a time where I'd be angry at Chris Dunn for not having reached his potential or developed to a certain point.
I actually think he has reached kind of his potential.
Well, sure. But the, you know, an NBA that top five draft pick potential. You know what I mean? Like, the dreams that people put on Chris Dunn, whether it was here or in Minnesota. You know, that's different. Now, I look at the guy and go, God. He's just not being put in his best situation.
No.
He's getting run out there and being asked to do things that he should not be asked to do.
His best situation is as a rotational defensive guard that is going to give you maximum effort. He gives you that. He's gonna be good on the ball. He occasionally is going to have spurts of offensive efficiency because he's going to get steals and be able to lead breaks.
Yeah, second unit tough guy.
That's all
first
you need
him to
do.
The second.
Part of the right. problem, though, is
Ronnie
that
Ronnie Brewer
and I covered Chris in college. He was the man at Providence, and I think that there are these moments in games. He's like, I used to be the man. Watch this.
League is full of those guys,
of course, but. That's part of the maturation.
You don't think
process.
Marcus Smart feels like that?
Of course he does,
same,
man.
Same kind of guy.
Yeah. I'm just telling
There's
you.
There's another that- part to this, though. It's every time Dunn gets into the lane and has that, I don't know, 8-10 foot floater that he can get up because the big has sagged off and made sure that he can't make the interior pass. And there's a hitch. It feels like there's a hitch every time he gets to that point because he's like, I don't know if I should shoot this.
He should shoot
and
that.
And nobody around him, nobody on the perimeter is making a dive cut. Nobody is set up and even, like, he's not looking for that. They don't coach to that, it feels
like.
Well,
they're also not collapsing on him to leave that guy open.
Well, yeah, that's
a big part of it.
But he's got to find, you know what I mean? Where is the help for that? Schematically, I'm talking about. Like, how is it that continues to happen over and over again?
Connor, that train left a long time.
You get to practice the next day, and it's like, okay, here's what we ran into last night. Chris, you're coming down the lane. Nobody... We're not doing this? We're not fixing that?
No, it's all effort and energy.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not sure that the head coach of the Bulls...
Finish this sentence.
That's it. No, that's it. We got it. That's it. Nailed it. You leave it there.
I'm trying to be diplomatic. I'm not sure that the head coach of the Bulls is qualified to be coaching at this level. Schematically.
Well, just listen after games.
So,
yeah,
take that for what you want, but it just doesn't seem like a guy that has a plan or is incapable of executing his plan through teaching. That's
coaching.
That's
called coaching.
It is. It is called coaching.
Dan, it is. But that's what I said.
This is what we want to do. This is how and why we want to do.
That's good. Someone said right there from my pregnant pause. Has a pulse. That's good. I would suggest that you keep that going at 670-11. I'm not sure the Bulls coach, ... and you fill in the blank with your text at 670-11.
Go back and read the column that Gordon Monson wrote in the Salt Lake Tribune after Boylan was let go by Utah. Uh-huh. And he said that when the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail, that everything he tries to smash through and beat up and stomp down. And he said, ultimately, the Utes just needed a better coach.
Yep. And the Bulls do, too.
Question stands to the front office. Do you still want to be coached this way? That's still the question. Because that's what they've said.
They don't seem
repeated
to
it.
See a problem. They don't. And I
would like to hear them answer that question again.
Connor, I don't have the energy to fight it out with them. Like, if this is how you want to run the franchise and continue to run it, if you want to continue to be embarrassed, not only by what happens on the court, but what happens at the microphone after games are over, have at it. And we'll check in. Like I said, I'll start caring again when you guys do. Seems pretty fair, right?
We just found out the students at Lincoln Park High School are going to be released from Coyote lockdown in a few minutes.
Oh, okay, good.
According to well-placed sources.
Wait, does that mean that they're going home or?
No, I think they can go to their next class or go to lunch.
Oh, all right. Good. I like that idea.
Because there's the killer coyote on the loose.
But not coyote hunting.
It's Radim Verbata. You're listening to WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, radio.com sports station. That is Dan McNeil. Dan McNeil. What? Damn.
Hey, Chicago.
That's right, Chicago. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. I did the Irish thing and I did the MC and totally.
We all collect.
I'm now. That's. Connor, that is the perfect response.
That's
what you should keep saying.
I know.
That's Connor McKnight and Dan Bernstein, who's not Dan McNeil, nor is he Danny Parkins. I am Jason Goff. So let's just go ahead and just do the whole thing. And apparently Jonathan Hood. By the way, so this happened on Twitter. Jay put up a whole thing of how he was at the United Center. Guy comes up to him and says he's me, which I don't know how you can mistake us because Jason's 6'3 and handsome. So there's that part of it. So then I laughed about that because it happens all the time. And literally 2 days later, I went to Potbelly on Roosevelt. I'm there in the line and the guy goes, I know that voice. I'm like, okay. Great. You're Jonathan Hood, right? And I'm like,
you're Bomani Jones.
Right? I'm like, Jonathan's 6'5". Right. Like he's so much bigger than I am and differently complected.
And you don't sound alike.
We don't sound anything alike. And so I said, now all we need for the circle to close is for Jonathan to have an experience where someone calls him Jason.
Right.
And then the circle closes. But then Jonathan was like, oh no, it's even better than that. I had an experience where someone called me Herb.
But then who's getting called Jason Whitlock?
That's right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, Herbie gets that. But that's at least an honest mistake because you can kind of see it. You can't look at me and Jason and be like, those two guys are the same.
Oh my
It's just not likely. At all. Have you seen him? He's like handsome. I'm little. I'm very small compared to those guys. Like I'm 5'9". And anyway, sorry about that, Dan.
That's fine.
Sorry. That train's never late. That train is never late, Connor. Never. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If you want your youth hockey team to play in front of thousands, make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Go to chicagowolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. Jason Whitlock, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Are you really actually giving yourself a chance to find someone great? I'll give you an example. It's not apples to oranges. Do you think the White Sox wanted to hire Ozzie Guillen when they started their managerial search? Didn't Kenny have his heart set on Cito Gaston? Wasn't that the guy that he wanted? The owner stepped in and said, you know, this might just be a favor for one of our great players. But considering that he's been coaching and is coached under some great managers, I think you should sit down with Ozzie Guillen. And I'm sure Kenny rolled his eyes and was like, all right, we'll see what Ozzie has to offer. Then he sits down with him and is like, holy bleep, this is the guy that we need. And it ends up being successful until it wasn't successful. And you end up winning a championship. But you have to give yourself an opportunity to be wowed.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a fun show in store for you today. We're supposed to get a phone call from Dan Soder. He's a huge 49ers fan. We're going to talk with him. For those of you who missed the Steve Stone interview, we're going to share a supercut of that interview at 1 o'clock today, so make sure you stick around for that. There's Illini stuff that we need to get into, which we will during the rundown. And, of course, we need to talk about, I don't know, the Bulls. I'm leaving that up to Will Perdue and Rick Camp to do on today's show. But we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here is your rundown for Thursday, January 9th, 2020. Go ahead and party. Go ahead, Herb. Party.
Illinois, one timeout left. DeSumo clears out. Davison! And Ayo up top buries the three.
So, Illinois has now beaten Wisconsin in football and basketball. Was that at the Kohl Center? Is it still called the Kohl Center?
It was at the Kohl Center.
So a final score of, was it 71-67 or 71-69?
71-70.
You guys won. How you feeling about this?
Feeling great. It's the first time, I believe, the Illini have swept in football and basketball since, I believe, either 89-90 or 2003. One of the two. It's a really far away time where the Illini have done some things versus Wisconsin and winning at the Kohl Center, even though Wisconsin's not great this year. It's always great.
They had had a couple of games where I was like, maybe my prediction of DePaul and Illinois being in the tournament was bad.
15 straight wins for Wisconsin until last night.
They could both make the NIT.
Wow.
Man.
DePaul needs to get on the, hey, you had your nice 12-1 start. It's conference time now. Stop bleeping around. Let's go. All right, but shout out to the Illini. Big win for them last night up in Wisconsin. In the NBA, Jimmy Butler is out here trolling people.
I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. But like I said, I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations. There's some that you just don't say as a man. And, I mean, he got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, you know, he talking about, oh, we're going to fight this, that. It is what it is to me.
And then what did you notice the middle finger from him, and was the blowing of the kiss?
He's soft. He's not even in my league, like nowhere near me. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. He's like, no, put somebody else on me because I'm a tad up every time we play.
I think that Jimmy needs to understand that there are two things going on here. If you want to talk about him being a trash player, that's cool. But you need to be very clear and specific in things like that. Because on the one hand, I feel Jimmy's like, he ain't nobody, he ain't nothing. And that will get your chin checked. But then he's like, well, I mean, basketball. He's not in my class. He might not be as good of a player as you, but that doesn't mean that you won't get your ass whooped. So just a little advice from me to you, Jimmy.
And the Pacers will gladly take the trade-off of Warren for Butler.
Absolutely. And yeah, he's got to see you again. And from what it looked like, TJ Warren didn't seem scared at that prospect of seeing you again.
Jimmy ran to Instagram and said, March 20th,
yeah,
the day we see you again.
It's stuff like that where you kind of go, okay, just be cool.
It's just weird that trouble finds Jimmy.
It is weird that Jimmy seems to always be in some mess, doesn't it? Strange. In a year where he is legitimately looked at as an MVP candidate. Can't help it. Wonder why he's been on so many teams. Good question. Okay, speaking of, let's do something happy first, Herbie. Let's go to the White Sox first. Because if you hadn't heard, even though it's been talked about for the last 2 weeks, Edwin Encarnacion's contract is official now.
Kittredge deals. Swung on and drilled to deep right center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Encarnacion's first home run as a Yankee. Una celebración for Edwin Encarnacion.
And his first walking
parrot as a Yankee. And Luke Voit's out there walking the parrot in the dugout's got his arm up. You got to work on that. It's going to be a 90-degree angle, Luke.
Yes. Let's all become parrot heads with Edwin Encarnacion.
Encarnacion!
Where the hell did you find that?
Nacho Libre.
Really? All right, can I hear that again, please? Because that's going to be a thing whenever he hits a home run. I'm all for us just playing that forever and ever and ever.
Encarnacion!
So the White Sox got Edwin Encarnacion. It's a one-year deal with a option that's all club, and there's no buyout to it. He hits a lot of bombs, and he will fit in their lineup, I think, very nicely. He even gets on base for a guy that doesn't hit for average as much. I think he was 344 on base with a 244 batting average last season.
We actually stole that from Rick and them at the midday show.
Oh, sorry, Campy. We didn't mean to steal.
Encarnacion.
That one's better.
Encarnacion.
Oh, good things and good times. Now let's move on to the Bulls, shall we? So last night, things started to kind of go bad for the Bulls in the third quarter.
I really like what he did. He changed speeds two times.
Here's a lob and thrown down. A two-handed dunk. Jackson Hayes from Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. Chris Dunn said this about the Bulls and how they need to be better as far as adjusting goes as the game goes on.
Yeah, you know, teams are making, you know, adjustments, and we got to be able to adjust with them. You know, today, credit, you know, New Orleans, they made adjustments to our defense, and, you know, at the same time, it's our fault. You know, the players was on the court. We got to be able to see what they're doing, and, you know, we just kind of get a grasp of it, and then, you know, this is the NBA. You know, once guys get going, especially good players in this league, it's hard to stop their rhythm. And, you know, Brandon got going. You know, JJ was getting going. And, you know, a couple of the rookies got going. It's tough.
Yeah, it is tough when you don't get going yourself and the Bulls lose last night in embarrassing fashion down in New Orleans. That's your rundown for Thursday, January 9th, 2020. And that's where we're going to spend a little bit of time before we hopefully talk with Dan Soder coming up at 12:40. And again, if you missed the Steve Stone conversation, we got a supercut for you coming up at 1 o'clock. The Bulls. And I'm going to tell you that the God's honest truth. I just don't. I know other people throughout the day. I know Mully and Haw were talking about this. Bernstein McKnight. I know Cap was talking about it. I know that everyone has kind of reached a breaking point with this Bulls team and this Bulls franchise. You've listened to this show. You know how I feel. You know how I felt. I don't have the energy for it. When I'm watching Bulls games now, I'm just kind of laughing while watching it because it doesn't, to me, it doesn't even feel good to pound them. Like there was a time where there's a cathartic feeling of letting it out, like how disappointing this season is and how backwards this franchise seems to be. But now, you see it. No one has to lead you to it. No ranting, raving talk show host has to go, see, look, see, this is what I was talking about. Trust me, there are going to be times when you're listening to this show where I go full Barry Horowitz on something that I feel like people aren't seeing, and I'm pointing it out to them. You don't need me to lead you to this. You watch the games every night. You see what's going on. I would hope that the Bulls see that less people are coming to games. People are not interested. And what I think that the scary part for them should be, it's not, but should be, I'm indicative of where Bulls fans are at. I just kind of don't care anymore. Now I'm going to do my job when it comes to doing this show and explaining things and watching the games and talking about it, but it doesn't reach me. Like, I don't get to that place where I'm angry anymore. I'm just like, there's other things for me to do. There's just other stuff. And last night, here's what, honest to God, I need to get back on my Spanish. Like, it's been lapsing. I was literally watching on the My Teams app the Bulls game with the sound down and taking a Spanish class on YouTube. That's where they've been relegated.